Everyone, if you're listening, I've been infected with the extremist virus. Get out while you can. It's airborne, and we're all going to get infected. Welcome to Agents of Speak. Sorry, I just freaked you out there a little bit.
You wish.
Episode 10.
I just have a cold, that's all.
Yes, I just have a cold. Extremis might help, but I don't think I can get my hands on that. So, we're going to talk tonight about the mid-season finale, which left us with some interesting cliffhangers. We got to see a lot of return guests come back from earlier in the season. We saw the girl with the... What is it? The girl with the flower dress.
Flower dress, yep. Yes.
Which we now know is named Raina. Are you having fun over there, Dave?
Yes, aren't you?
Well, you can enjoy your bling. We also saw the return of Mike Peterson, who we saw in the very first episode, who got powered up by the Caterpillar program.
Gun,
yes. J. August Richards. We saw him called up and asked to suit up to join the mission. And I have to say, it was a pretty exciting episode we had there. Definitely a turn from what we've had so far in the past couple episodes, where they seem to be sort of dwindling down and not as threaded. This sort of tied things together in a nice way. So where do you guys want to start?
Wow, I don't know where to start. It was a slow build-up in the beginning, I think. It was, a lot of backstory for the Centipede group, filling in those holes, a little bit more. We now know there is definitely a clairvoyant.
We don't know if they're clairvoyant yet. We don't know if they're psychic clairvoyant.
Yes, that's true.
That's true, and they skirted that quite a bit. We've had S.H.I.E.L.D. has sort of disavowed a couple times certain things even being possible. In this episode they were disavowing clairvoyance as physically possible. Last episode it was telekinesis. So I have a feeling that there's probably going to be a point where these things are going to be turned on their heads against them, and they're not going to be able to deny them so easily.
Apparently you need to be level 9 to know about the X-Men.
Yes. Right, but a little bit more story about their leader. I can't think of his name right now.
The guy in prison?
Yeah, the guy that broke out. So a little bit more of his backstory. There was a slow build up, and then just boom at the end. It was like, wow. I was a little screaming at my TV. Whedon!
Well, we know he didn't. Obviously, he didn't kill Coulson. We saw that mm-hmm. he was flying away in the helicopter. And I guess there's no point in avoiding. We're jumping right to the end here. Because that's the most important part of the most exciting part of the show, really. and we saw the explosions before that, where Mike was running back in there, and we don't know the fate of Mike Peterson after that point. I think they wanted you to assume that he was probably killed by the explosions, but I want to say that he might be back. We might see him again.
It wouldn't matter if he got blown into a million pieces. Those pieces got disintegrated and then were scattered to the four corners of the universe, because this is comics. He could come back.
True. And, you can easily say, well, he has enhanced abilities from the extremis virus that, helps him survive an explosion like that. I mean, it's easily passable at this point.
True.
Well, at the very least, his skin has got to be denser, considering you could be as strong as you want, but if you're going to push a shipping container like that, your bone density and your muscle density better be a hell of a lot more than a regular human, which means you could probably survive an explosion like that.
Yes. Simmons definitely seemed to notice that as well.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. She was studying it very intently.
Yes, there was a lot of of studying of Peterson's physique.
Freaking Simmons. Really? Poor Fitz sitting there pining away. You know, that poor guy. He's got to get it together soon.
Though, before we jump too much into the end, I kind of think May, they kind of showed her to be pretty cold-blooded in this episode.
I think after the snub at the bar on the plane, I think, and forgive me for saying this, I think any woman would be cold-blooded after that and ready to kick some ass. I mean, you know, the amount of romance that he put into that.
I would classify it more as guarded. I think she's definitely, she obviously is a very guarded character generally in, you know, as we've seen so far. And I think that, you know, we've seen her open up in the last episode a little bit, coming out of the show a little bit. I think it's expecting too much to expect her to remain, you know, breaking out of that shell, you know, more and more, you know, just a week later. I think, She's. It's going to take a while for her to not be so guarded. I think her characterization was appropriate, and I think that there's some level of that is, you know, she may actually feel a little bit more on alert now that she started, you know, doing stuff with Ward. She feels like she has to, you know, sort of keep that managed and keep, you know, knowledge of that managed and keep it from impacting, you know, the missions, impacting the things that they're doing in a negative way.
True.
Is it just me, or do we now have all of the characters pretty much covered as far as, you know, at least enough backstory for us to care, and they seem to have emotion and everything, and yet Grant is still a company robot? He is literally a company robot.
I think that's just the way Grant is, and I think it's all we should really expect from him. That's the type of person he is.
Well, looking at the end of this episode, maybe we won't have to worry about that anymore.
I think he might have gotten a shot in the chest plate, but I'm pretty sure he was wearing armor.
After he saw the cool threads that that Peterson had, he probably picked up a pair of his own and, you know, deflected the bullet with them.
Ward is not one to be outdone when it comes to
equipment.
You know, equipment. Yes.
Equipment, is that what we're calling it now, guys?
I think that gun was compensating a little bit.
Just a little.
Just a tad.
Moving on. Let's see. Oh, it was really nice to see a storyline where it was hard to figure a way out of it. I mean, tactically speaking, these bad guys are freaking scary.
Yeah.
Because they have got, I mean, you would have think that Coulson, seeing how they had acted before, would have had at least 5 backup plans going into this exchange. Because these guys, I mean, they've got one guy controlling another guy, so that there's no way to trace anybody back to them. They've got all this technology. They've started their own little super soldier, you know, cadre. So it's just, you'd think that they would have come up with something better, because the writing, I'm really surprised. It wasn't your normal, we'll do the exchange and, you know, the good guys will have a sniper set up and then, you know, boom, we've got them. It's, they've got, these bad guys have a plan and a plan and a plan and a plan. And it's,
right. And even with that, you know, you have to give Coulson and the team some respect. They tried to be planned and ready for those sorts of caveats. Like if Ward wasn't able to pull anything off from his, you know, from his crow's nest, you know, they had the detection technology that they were planting on Michael Peterson, so that there was, if things had gone according to the plan they thought things were going along with, they would have had an ability to sort of track them and maybe make things, you know, work things out. But because of the swap and because it ended up being Coulson that they took, it obviously threw a monkey wrench in even their backup plans. They couldn't be prepared for that caveat.
Yes, yeah, no, that's true. And I also kind of got the sneaking suspicion they were trying to say they weren't 100% convinced that the two were connected yet, that it was Centipede behind the guy with the girl with the camera in the eye. Because they never said it was Centipede in that episode, you know. But, you know, once they found the camera in this guy who died in this episode, then it was like, okay, now it's definitely them, and they connected the dots at that point. And, you know, I do think, though, you know, when you saw Coulson was scared when they figured that out at that point, you know, like, I'm going to call HQ, this is bigger than we thought, maybe they should have brought more backup in at that point.
Perhaps. Yeah. But yeah, it was, there was a lot of things that I found interesting with this episode. Like I said, the culmination of a lot of things we've seen in the past with the eye technology and having it being, you know, brought up a notch from where it was before. That they're, you know, they're still, you know, making enhancements to the Centipede technology itself. And we saw, like, the one scene, the one guy, you know, whereas Peterson has just the one strip along his one arm, mm-hmm. the guys that they were suiting up had, like, a strip on each arm, and then a strip on their upper arms, and across their backs. And, but they were all missing that stabilizing element that Michael Peterson apparently had that Fitzsimmons didn't even realize they had perfected. So that was an interesting twist there, that they had managed to, you know, have a silver bullet solution to a problem they weren't trying to solve.
Right. No. Yeah. And I am kind of glad that they explained that in the episode. You know, it was like, yeah. Well, wait, why is he stable all of a sudden? Yeah.
You know. Right. Right. They had that juxtaposition where he was stable, but the others were not, and they had to keep getting additional injections. But he was fine. He just, you know, had to eat a lot, which I also like that they actually had an explanation for why he was able to keep going like that, that there was a cost to it, that, right. You know, that he had to take time to recharge sometimes, and when he did, he, like, ate four times what a normal person would eat because of his metabolism. So I definitely like the mythos that they're setting up. It's really, they've put a lot of thought into it, and I can appreciate that.
Yes, and that's our problem, Ben. We're both infected with the extremis.
I could really use that right now.
So basically what we're looking at now is they're setting up a continuity where everything is science-based. Even Thor and the Asgardians are basically high technology and not magic. And they keep saying, they keep insinuating that, yes, we don't have anybody on the Rolodex that has actual psychic powers. We don't have any mention of the mutants. There's no mystical forces, no Dormammu or Doctor Strange or, you know, anybody like that.
So far.
Yeah.
Well, all right. I'll say this, and I think we've talked about this a bit in the past. I think those elements are coming. I think that, because we know that they're planning to introduce a Doctor Strange movie at some point, mm-hmm. and they're planning on introducing some more of the mystical elements of things.
Iron Fist. He's got to start having that.
You could, but yeah, exactly. Iron Fist and a bunch of those. There's mystical elements that they're planning to introduce. We know that they're going to introduce them. So S.H.I.E.L.D. may not be openly aware of those things. It doesn't mean that they don't exist. You know, we can't assume that S.H.I.E.L.D. is as all-knowing as they pretend to be.
Right. No, I think that's... I actually kind of hope that's what it is. You know, like, once they finally introduce Doctor Strange or Iron Fist, you know, they're baffled by it. And they're like, wait, what's going on here? And, you know, and then it's just like, it's magic, you know, or it's otherworldly or whatever. And, let's not sit there and... So this way, it's kind of a comment on humanity where it's like, yeah, no, we really don't know everything. You know, we'd like to think we do, but we don't.
Right.
Level 9, mutants galore. Level 10, here comes psychic powers. Level 11, here is magic. Now reaching level 12, eye patches. I mean, you know, yeah. I mean, it's probably something like that. Because I can't see with the way they've built S.H.I.E.L.D. up and with the mythology around it that they don't know about those things. It's got to be, it's just compartmentalized. I'm hoping that's just it.
I wonder if they'll ever address the eye patch. Because it's something that stays fairly... you know, shrouded and nebulous, even in most of the comics, that, you know, what happened to Nick Fury that caused him to need the eye patch. What's interesting is that there, I remember reading actually in probably one of the Ultimate series in the, you know, the Ultimate universe in Marvel, where it's, where it is the Samuel L. Jackson version of Nick Fury. The eye patch actually proved to be useful. Like, it was a tool in that when he flipped it up, it cast out sort of like this forget-me ray. So everyone around him forgot any of the...
Neuralizer?
Really? Basically, yes. Yeah, so it removed any memories of him having been there for whatever time he was around.
Like when Superman kisses you.
Exactly. Exactly.
Oh. Actually, I think it was just a drunken bet with Odin that he lost it, but you know.
No, you're going to find out that at one point he had a camera implanted.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it all ties together, man. All ties together. So
what else can we talk about while we're reading for... Oh, there we go. Which Ben am I looking at here?
I don't know.
Once again, dear listeners and watchers, it would not be Superhero Speak without technical difficulties.
Apparently not. What did do, Dave?
I didn't do anything.
Well, there's now apparently four people in this broadcast.
You're just in here twice. Wait a minute. One's you and one's your doppelganger.
I thought we weren't dealing with psychic powers yet.
See, this is what happens when you start talking about Fury's eye patch.
Yeah.
He hacks into your broadcast.
Nice.
All right. Well, anyway, we're back up. I don't know what that was. That glitch was a little weird. I really like this episode. I have to say they really pulled things together in a way that I appreciate. And I really also enjoyed the... do you guys see the scenes for upcoming, you know, for season 1.2?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, they were kind of quick flashes, but yeah, I did see it.
Well, we got Coulson back, but there was no super guy. What was his name?
They didn't show him, but I would imagine they're not going to, because that would be a reveal. They want to keep that at least, you know, close to the vest as a whether or not he's coming back. They don't want you to know that until the next episode. Nah. So they kept that out of the teaser. What I did enjoy, though, is, so, you know, you saw some bits of them, like, you know, trying to figure out, to puzzle out what's going on with Coulson. The team trying to run without Coulson, which is interesting. And I have to say that's going to be an interesting run. I would imagine Melinda May will take up the charge of running the team. And there might be some conflict there as well.
With Grant, no.
but there's also, you saw, I think her name was Victoria Hand, one of the people we met in the Hub episode as a senior member of S.H.I.E.L.D. Showing up. So there's a lot of interesting things on the horizon, I think, there that I'm looking forward to.
So you're saying that Ward and May can't run the team as a couple?
I just think that we know that Coulson and May have had disagreements from time to time as far as philosophically how to address certain things. So with Coulson out of the picture, it's going to be more May, you know, sort of running shots her way. And it may not always work out well, you know, because she has been wrong from time to time. You know, she'd occasionally been pushing for the wrong strategy, and Coulson has turned out to be right, not always. And so it'll be interesting to see if they flounder a little bit. It'll be sort of like, you'll probably get this reference, John, but Torchwood when Captain Jack wasn't around.
Oh, yeah. Oy. No, we don't want it to go that bad.
Right. So there's that potential, and I think hopefully it won't go that bad, but there probably will be a little bit of, you know, floundering to get things worked out and figure out how to manage things well. But I'd imagine Melinda May is intelligent enough that she knows that she doesn't have that counter voice and may try to and may find herself being more conservative.
Right.
Or in well, actually liberal. I mean, that's basically what.
Well, yeah.
But I think, go ahead.
I think the thing we all really want to know going into the next season, or the, you know, the second half of the season,
mm-hmm.
what happened the day after Coulson died?
Right. I think, honestly, that's the one way we can actually sympathize with the bad guys in this. We want that information to come out.
Right.
So that we know what happened. It's like, yeah, we're sad that we're torn that they caught him and they've abducted him and we want him to get recovered, but let's reveal some stuff first.
But yeah, torture him until he answers.
Right.
And then waterboard let it him out.
Yes. waterboard him until he short circuits and it all becomes evident.
Yes.
His positronic brain can only take so much.
Oh boy.
Anyway.
Yeah.
I think we've covered this pretty well.
Yeah.
I think we can wrap it up here. Let's give a round of ratings. Let's see what we thought. Dave, we'll let you start.
Like I said, slow start, but really strong at the end. A lot of what kind of moments at the end there that kept us guessing, kept us like, ooh, now I need to see how this pans out. So I'm going to give it an 8.5.
Okay. John, your thoughts?
I'll give the episode an 8 as well. I'll give Grant's ability to deal with women a 1.
I'd say that's an improvement.
Yeah, no kidding. Jeez, that's it. Completely insult the woman who can beat the crap out of you. You know, yes. that's always a good plan.
Quite. I'll give it a... I like the cliffhanger aspect of it. Not that I'm looking for that in a show, but I thought that this was a good one. So I might go so far as to say a 9. 9 capes.
Wow. You're very generous, sir.
I am. So, I'm really looking forward to what's coming in the next half, and we'll probably just take my cold and hibernate until January 7th when the show comes back.
Lucky.
Yeah, that's the worst part. We've got to wait until after the holidays.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, maybe what we'll do is we'll get our act together during this break, and we'll come back polished and better than ever.
That's a stretch. Polished. I don't know.
We can but try.
I know that Mythbusters did prove that you can actually polish a turd.
Yes.
I'm sure it's not easy.
Maybe we'll come back with a new co-host.
That sounds ominous.
It is ominous.
Do I need to get
Are hatch? You leaving us, Dave? Are you getting that change? That operation you keep talking about?
I'm not getting the change. All I'm saying is that we might have a new co-host.
Will you be Darlene after the break?
I'm going to leave you with that cliffhanger.
Okay.
There will be a new face.
And okay. Here they come for you
are
now.
They're coming to arrest you right now?
Is this what we need?
Yes, yes they are.
How appropriate. All right, well, fair enough.
Well, we definitely have, besides this show, we have a lot of things to talk about. So if you're not listening to our podcast, you guys definitely should be. Because I think the next couple weeks we'll have some really interesting year in review and some discussions of some other things, including other shows that we enjoy watching that we have a lot of opinions about. So thank you guys for tuning in to Agents to Speak, and we'll see you next year. Happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
Hey everyone, you just listened to an episode of Superhero Speak. This is Dave. You can reach me at dave@superheroespeak.com. Also, if you're listening to this through the website, did you know you can go to iTunes and subscribe to it? So check us out there.
And this is Ben from Superhero Speak, which you can reach at ben@superheroespeak.com. And did you know you can also follow us on our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/superheroespeak.
This is John. You can reach me at john@superheroespeak.com, and if you want, there's our Twitter account, @superheroespeak.
All right. Thanks, and check us out at those spots.
Thank you.